Alrighty. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Brothers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
As excited as ever.
Yeah.
You were like, alright.
Alrighty.
Okay.
We got different time codes in our description. You can jump to the news, the book, which is Black Science, surprise. We had to pivot.
Yeah, we had to pivot. All good.
Maybe spot next week. We'll see.
Yeah, we might need to pivot again. No, we don't. It should be fine.
Back Matter Matters, the poll list are also time codes, but we start with the news.
Let's see what the fucking, what was up this week. I actually don't know if I have anything.
White Widow is getting their own comic series. The, Florence Pugh character.
That's lame.
It's coming November 1st.
Wow.
From Marvel.
That's weird. So is that?
Comicbook.com posted it. They just posted the cover, but didn't say who wrote it or drew it anywhere.
That's so annoying.
I was like, hey, who's writing this? Comicbook.com. You know,
yeah, honestly.
I added their ass in their own comments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're very salty.
I was being petty, yeah. I could have looked it up.
But you didn't.
No.
That's why you read articles.
No, it was just an Instagram post.
That's dumb.
Yeah, never dumb. Nathan, we're getting a Suicide Squad anime. It's called Suicide Squad X
Machina.
Isekai.
X Isekai?
X, yeah, like times, almost like it's like a collab, I think.
Suicide Squad X Isekai.
Yeah.
Got it. So it's a crossover?
It looked like, I think Isekai might be like the studio that's making it.
Okay.
Or maybe that just means like anime or something.
Interesting.
And so it looks really cool. You know, it looks like it's mostly going to like focus on Joker and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty cool.
That seems pretty cool. I would watch that.
Yeah.
I'd give that.
It's coming in 2024.
Very nice. I don't have anything.
Okay.
So you could just rip through it real quick.
Did you watch, like in Secret Invasion, like the guy who plays like the bad guy?
Yeah.
Like his main skin or whatever. I know he's a Skrull, but like his main.
The Gravik dude?
Yeah, Gravik.
Gravel?
Yeah. I was like, where did I know this guy from? And I like don't think I actually know him from anything.
Okay.
Like I went through his IMDb and everything. But a trailer dropped today and he's going to be Bob Marley in like the One Love biopic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How has there not been a Bob Marley biopic yet?
I don't know.
Biopic?
Biopic.
Do they?
People say biopic. I think they sound dumb.
That is dumb. It should be biopic.
Yeah.
That's crazy that there hasn't been one yet. And it's also crazy that those are two polar opposite characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
one's about war, though. One's about peace.
But one's an alien, one's not.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Very nice.
Not really comic news, but I wrote that down.
Good for that guy.
Yeah.
Welcome to Good for That Guy Hour.
That's all the news I had, so we can just get straight into it.
Did you know Cillian Murphy was going to be Batman?
Cillian
Murphy?
What, in like...
Dark Knight?
I'm sure he was like...
He tested as Batman?
Yeah, he probably read for it.
And like had the suit on, and we saw him with the suit on?
Mm-hmm. I feel like he'd be a pretty good Batman.
He just looks, probably.
I think he's better as the Scarecrow.
He's a really good actor. Oh, yeah, he was Scarecrow. That's right. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, he's better as just a person that looks stressed out, you know?
Yeah. Like someone that's worried.
Yeah, pretty much. I found that out today, so that was cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you can look up any major role and look at all the people who, like, either didn't get it or, like, passed on it, you know?
Right, but, I mean, he ended up, obviously, working with Christopher Nolan and stuff. I guess that's a movie because I forgot about Scarecrow, but
yeah.
It's not like everybody like gets in the suit and does the voice and stuff.
You know? It's probably a couple rounds.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, let's get into it.
Alrighty.
What do we read, Daniel?
We read Black Science, Nathan, by Rick Remender.
Matteo Scalera
and Dean White on painted art.
Also Russ Wooten.
Russ Wooten
swings in there. Lettering and logo design. Good logo.
Oh, good logo.
Yeah.
What does that logo remind you of?
Well, I know what it is, what it's supposed to be reminiscent of.
What?
An onion.
No.
Yes, it is.
I know it is, but like it looks like something I've seen before.
Probably like a Moon Knight.
We're gonna wait now.
There's like two crescent moon little dot.
Ubisoft.
Let me see. Yeah, sure.
And then I was also thinking like the Crunchyroll. Kind of looks like that.
Okay, it looks more like the Crunchyroll than it does the Ubisoft logo.
Mm-hmm. That's the logo. Cool logo, I guess.
Cool logo. Cool book. What a fucking sci-fi. This is just a sci-fi book. You know how like,
yeah,
there will be books where it's like sci-fi plus like horror or like, you know, things like that.
This
is
like a hat.
Yeah, this is just sci-fi.
Just sci-fi.
And they do it to its best capacity, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
This was recommended by a reader, Dinger. Shout out.
Boy, Dinger.
Very good recommendation, I would say. I was I've heard of this and I've seen it.
Oh, isn't this logo on your image shirt?
Oh, you're right. It's Black Science.
Well, yeah, because like
piecing it together.
I know. We gotta collect them all.
Yeah, this is totally in there.
Because like this was a book that came out like in that. For me, I guess I kind of prime time of Image, you know, like mid 2000 teens, you know, and so that was already like all these just like big hitters came out and were coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the last like really long series that Image had.
Yeah.
And so it was like this and like East of West and just like a lot of stuff that Dinger was recommending because I think he's in that same like group.
Yeah, he must be. Yeah.
And so.
But I've remember reading Seven to Eternity. And now that I think about it, I think it's Nick Spencer. I can't even remember. But I mixed the two up, Rick Remender and Nick Spencer.
Can't imagine why.
They just sound the same to me.
No, they absolutely rhyme. Like their first names and last names rhyme. No, this was Rick Remender.
Seven to Eternity was?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember reading that and I was like, this has got to be awesome. And I was like, and then I read it and I was like, I'm not crazy about this.
Jerome Opeña and Matt Hollingsworth.
Oh, those are both great artists. I should maybe try it again. Maybe I just wasn't ready for it. But maybe, anyway,
we could review it on the pod, Nathan.
Yeah, we could.
Did he recommend that?
I don't think so.
I feel like Dinger did.
So I remember seeing this on the stands and I was like, oh, it's that other guy. I didn't really like him. And this looks like too much. And I could not be more wrong because I think that this book's pretty incredible. But that being said, I do think that Matteo Scalera is 95% of my enjoyment of the book.
Sure.
This would not be... I would not be as stoked about this if it was like any other artist.
Yeah. What do we know Rick Remender from? What's his like big thing? Just like Marvel stuff, right?
Yeah, he's done some Marvel stuff. I think he did Secret Empire. Or maybe that was Nick Spencer.
That was Nick Spencer. But anyway, yeah, this was a lot of fun for me. I mostly read it when I was tired.
Oh, Deadly Class.
Deadly Class, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know if I needed like another multiverse story right now, but sure. It still was fun because it was like very out there as far as the different universes they were going to.
Yeah, I think
like they weren't very close to Earth. There's like one that might have been like a little close, but yeah. Other than that,
the only reason I wasn't feeling that sort of same burnout is that it just felt like a completely different environment for just Matteo Scalera to just go crazy on, you know.
Is there something else we've read by him?
Matteo Scalera?
Yeah.
He's on issue 6 of Ambassadors. But I think that was like the first thing I'd read from him. And now he's like on my radar for sure.
Gotcha. Nice.
It's not like they were interacting with themselves, like different versions of themselves very often.
Right.
There's like one instance of that, but maybe. I think maybe who knows?
No spoilers.
But like it was just so fun, like jumping between the different dimensions and just seeing like what they're like, what creatures and whatever. So I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. It had some solid pacing on it. Wasn't very dense or anything, you know? And I think it just kind of took some getting used to for me to get used to his proportion, like, decisions. You know what I mean? Just
the characters?
Yeah, just, like, how he draws faces and how he draws, like, kind of just the sizes of different people, you know?
Yeah. I feel like his artwork looks like that, like, super sick, like, character concept stuff that you see in, like, Pixar, like, art books or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a whole comic.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, whenever you, like, see those in, like, the, you know, extras of, like, movies or, like, in the art books or whatever movies, you're like, damn, that looks really cool. You know, that person did a good job conceptualizing this. And it just feels like the whole book is like that for me, which I think is a big positive.
Yeah.
So, let's get into it. So, our asses are thrown right into the thick of it. we meet Jen and Grant, and they're escaping from creatures of a different dimension until they run themselves to like the edge of a mountain.
They're like these like eel on land things.
Yeah. They're like big eels ridden by big fish or something.
Fish with hands.
And they run themselves to the edge of a cliff. Turns out they're on a big turtle.
Turtle Island.
I feel like I've seen this trope a lot where there's like a whole civilization on like a turtle or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite. I love that.
It's so sick.
I love that shit. I'm like, yeah, put that shit on a turtle. And Jen gets killed and Grant continues on like a super big chase that he's on. But these are some pretty raw fucking pages.
Yeah.
Like just right at the get go, you're like, wow, that's a cool looking eel thing. And then you're like, wow, okay, they're on a big turtle, you know?
You know, I remember actually reading this first issue in like one of those like Image First things, like those dollar comics just to get you into the book.
Yeah.
And I just gave it a shot and I never like went past that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was still like a surprise when Jen got killed because it's like a huge blast through like her helmet thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he describes it as like a mist of red frozen in time. And I was like, oh, damn, you know, just know it's like,
yeah. You know? Yeah. She just got completely disintegrated pretty much. So he runs into like a frog tomb with other frog looking features.
So it's a horror creatures. Now.
Nah, so it turned into a horror. I was incorrect. It is a sci-fi horror because I hate frogs. And, but I don't know, the way that like Mateo draws it, like this first like frog statue, I was like, this is kind of cool. But yeah,
it's like a Buddha of frogs.
Yeah. I was like, this is weird. Like, how did this get here? You know, like, and like, what frog is this? And so he like continues on this chase from frog people, and Grant eventually runs into like a strip club type thing, but for frogs. And there's a fish stripper there and she's like getting tortured. And then Grant's like, oh, this is someone's kid.
Yeah.
And he goes back and he saves the fish stripper. And then he jumps out of like the window.
She's got a fishy dad and a fishy mom.
She's got fishy people out just outside the strip club, I guess. And the fish people fight the frog people. And then Grant just like gets away.
Why wouldn't the fish people go into the fish strip club or the frog fish club?
There's probably a frog bouncer. And they're like, no, you're a fish.
It's probably
person.
The big statue.
It was very weird, like, that we just jumped right to this point. Because I'm like, okay, I'm now in a froggy strip club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how to feel about this fish with tits, you know?
It's got to get people to buy number two, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Sex does sell. You know, it's all this like sounds insane, but I was pretty intrigued by like the design choices like the whole time. Like what a frog strip club looks like, you know?
Yeah.
Or like how a frog stripper would look.
I like how these like frogs have like these like electric charged eyes and then their tongues like are like electric charged too.
Yeah, totally. Like that shit's crazy. It uses like a whip and stuff. And then just like the armor and like the weapons and stuff that the fish people have is pretty cool to look at too. So Grant eventually gets to his people, which are just like some people from his work, his boss and his kids. And they try to take their interdimensional traveling device thing. It's called the pillar. They try to take the pillar out of there, but it's damaged and it takes them to another dimension in the middle of just an all out war.
Yeah. They said that's been like sabotaged. Somehow.
Yeah.
Like someone smashed the keyboard. They're like, no, it's all broken.
Oh, no, the keyboard. And yeah, so they just get thrown into like the middle of a war zone, essentially. But I like how it looks when the pillar like takes off. Like it starts out looking like a little, like some sun rays coming from the pillar. And then it just kind of like shines everybody bright.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the suit designs?
They're cool. They're like, I think they work really well for like what they're doing, like where they are. Like the top half is very like, it's like an egg shape, but I think it would be working like space.
Yeah.
You know, because he's got like the Buzz Lightyear like cap thing.
Yeah, and you could like still see all around and
but
stuff.
It also looks like they can move with like the lower portion, you know, and so they're safe from like these like harsh ecosystems if they teleport to one, you know.
Yeah, the only thing with me with this is that the suits never really do anything.
Yeah, they just like open.
Yeah, they just like open, or, you know, the glass could get shattered, but that's like really about it. Like you're not like shooting like a little missile or whatever out of it. I know it's the original design was just to like travel to different dimensions, but yeah, it no one really takes them off. And the boss dude is there and he just doesn't have anything on. So I'm like, okay, So clearly these aren't like super needed.
But yeah, like he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. But so yeah, that was issue one. We'll go into issue two. So there's like a flashback where you find out that Grant is having an affair with his coworker Rebecca. And I like these couple pages where he's like rolling a blunt and like smoking it, and it's all in like silhouette kind of deal.
Wait, who's Jennifer?
I don't think there is a Jennifer.
Who died earlier?
Was that Jen? That was Jen. Yeah, okay. You're right.
Who's Jen?
Jen is the one that died.
She just worked there?
Yeah, just worked there. Rebecca also works with Grant. They're fucking...
Yeah.
Grant's married to a girl named Sarah.
Right.
And they have kids together. In the present, they find out that the homing beacon was smashed, which brought them to just a random dimension, and they conclude that it was sabotaged by someone in the group. And for now, they assign this dude named Ward, who is like the security guy for this place. They assign him to be in charge because he has like military experience and shit. And then they get ambushed. But I like the scene because it's like, it's kind of fun to like point fingers and set up like a whodunit. Mm-hmm. And it also gives us time to like learn all the characters' personalities and like their jobs and stuff. Because someone's like, you're just the design person. Maybe you smash it because you're afraid of not having a job or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that was like very effective, you know, somewhat exposition.
Mm-hmm.
So they get ambushed by what looks like a German soldier that stabs Grant. The boss dude, Kadir, knows German, and he finds out it's a war. Like, what's going on is that there's a war between the German people and these like Mecha Hopi tribe people.
Yeah.
So it's like Hopi tribe people with like this futuristic gear and shit, and they look really cool.
They got like spaceships and shit.
Yeah, they got spaceships and like laser spears or whatever. And they need one of the Hopi tribe shamans to heal Grant because he got stabbed real bad. So Kadir, Ward, and another dude named Sean leave to go find one, and they just have to go find one in the middle of a war, pretty much. And so while they're like on their hunt, they like, I just like seeing like all the creatures and stuff that he like comes up with. And there's one where it's like a hawk that's like a homing like hawk or like a scanning hawk or some shit.
Yeah, the robot hawk.
Yeah, the robot hawk. And they have to like hide from the hawk so that they don't get like caught or whatever. And
pretty
I was
sick
like,
looking.
It was like really cool looking. I like the flash in its eyes that Mateo gave him. Like a lot of really cool design choices and accents. And that's pretty much it for this issue. Like we get some flashback stuff of them finishing the pillar and the boss like wants to take all the credit or whatever, but the flashback is like from 7 hours ago.
Yeah.
And so like 7 hours ago to them, you know, they were in this other dimension. One person got killed. Grant got stabbed.
Yeah.
And they've been in two dimensions. So
yeah, the purpose for like the pillar was to go to these different universes or whatever and just for like resources.
Yeah. Like
and stuff.
Pretty much like mine their resources, see what they have that can cure like cancer or like stop any shortages or whatever in different universes. So interesting idea. So issue three, there's a flashback of Kadir planning to fire Grant, and he's going to use Grant's affair with Rebecca as blackmail so that he doesn't like sue him or something. And just 3 hours later in the present, the three guys find the shaman dude that they're trying to find to heal Grant. And they attempt to get him, but what they didn't see is a giant mech that was behind them. And so it starts a big fight, but Kadir is actually one to like save the other two. And he seems like pretty much like a sketchy kind of guy who just kind of wants to like fend for himself. So it was kind of interesting seeing him like help the others.
Yeah.
And I think I really like what Mateo does with like action. And there's this like really sweet like double page spread where they're like fighting this like big mech and getting like knocked around and shit, but just like something about it looks so cool, and he adds like all sorts of like lines and stuff to like the action that I think just makes it like feel faster.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
tons definitely. Of like speed lines and stuff. He's also really good with like character faces.
Mm.
So I think he just does a really good job.
I feel like the features, like the eyes and like the nose will be like a lot smaller than like what the face is. And
yeah.
So he's able to have like more room to play with as far as like facial expressions.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What I think like is, Kadir specifically, like
he's got like small eyes for sure.
Yeah. And they're very close to each other.
They're very like piercing. But it's kind of interesting because I feel like everybody has a different head shape. Like this Ward dude has like a big blocky one. His chin like kind of goes out a little bit.
Yeah.
Sean seems kind of normal, but Kadir is like a little bit more pointy and stuff. So I think he does like
Grant's got a big nose.
He's really put some thought into it. Yeah, Grant has a huge nose.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty cool. I also like this explosion when they kill the mech.
Yeah,
pretty good boom.
And then like the only thing is that what's her name?
Rebecca?
Jen? No, Jen? Rebecca. She looks a lot like his daughter.
Oh, I did get them confused all the time.
Like, yeah, obviously one's going to be like younger than the other, but like
it's kind of hard to tell.
The fact that like she's not her mom was like a little confusing, you know? Because there's even panel with them like right next to each other and you just would just assume.
And I was like, who just did that, you know?
Yeah, maybe if it was like a different like hair color or something or like
different hair color would, I think, definitely help. But like a different hair shape, because they seem pretty similar.
Yeah. The difference is just like maybe some wrinkles and some height.
Yeah.
And so
maybe it's like the nose, because I feel like when people draw kids, they like don't draw a bridge of the nose. They just do like a little button nose thing. But yeah, it's pretty tough. So they still have that like German soldier hostage and contained. But while he's like tied down, he like calls for help and Rebecca has to like drown him so that he can't they won't get found out. And then there's a flashback of the moment that they jumped the first time in the pillar, like the first one that like started it all. And like Grant's kids and coworkers are suited up and they explain basically the idea of the Eververse, which is like everything. And they explain it as an onion. When that's the basically the idea is that every decision you make spawns like a different reality that is that kind of just like grows the onion, the layers of the onion or something. And it just like keeps growing or something. And there's something in the middle. Who knows what it is? But I feel like I don't think anyone can compare anything to an onion and have me not think about Shrek.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, an onion?
Layers.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I do like the logo. Logo's pretty cool.
I thought of like glass onion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not that there's much about layers in that, but
yeah.
This is the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, whenever there's like a comparison, like this is like an onion. I'm just like, this is just Shrek.
Yeah. There's a panel of Kadir, and it reminds me a lot of like that little Keanu meme. Like right here.
Oh, yeah, where he's just like standing in the room. Oh, where he's like all small.
Yeah, where he's like.
I love that one. Why bring your kids? You could get zapped.
We find out later.
To mush. Do we?
Yeah.
Why did he bring his kids?
You didn't pay attention.
I didn't pay attention. Why did he bring his kids?
He didn't. He was just showing them the fucking place, and then the pillar went off on accident.
No, he gave them suits. They have suits. You don't give a kid a suit.
Just for funsies.
No, it wasn't for funsies. He's there's a panel where he's like, it's completely safe. He says, no, it's safe, Nate. By the way, this kid's name is Nate. Pretty cool. Mostly for exploration, but a certain pain in the ass says anyone near the pillar has to wear one. Oh, so I guess if they just go near the pillar?
Right.
I see.
Because he's like bureaucrats.
Yeah, he's like, okay, that makes more sense.
Because apparently he's like Rick Sanchez, you know?
Okay, so it wasn't supposed to go off while the kids were there. Mm-hmm. I knew. Oh, it wasn't supposed to go off at all. But he was just like showing the kids like, wow, look at this interdimensional. Okay. That makes more sense, because I'm like, why would you bring your kids?
Yeah.
That's insane. Because you could get just zapped to mush.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with one, if you just like forgot to carry the one somewhere, you know?
Yeah, I don't even know if it works.
Yeah. So.
Is that four then?
Grant's kids, coworkers get suited up. They explain Eververse. Oh, yeah. And then the pillar jumps. So, yeah, that was issue 3. On to issue 4. So the three guys with the shaman to heal Grant are like making their way back, but they're being chased by more like mech Hopi tribe soldier dudes. And there's like a super fun fight throughout the whole thing. Kadir and Ward have to like fight them off so that Sean can bring the shaman dude back to heal Grant. But Kadir bails on Ward and Ward is killed. And, you know, that there's one point where there's like a chase and, you know, everybody that we like is in a Jeep and the Hopi tribe people are on these like mech horses. There's a panel where I think it's Sean cuts one of the dude's heads off and the horse.
Yeah.
But the horse is like still running and it Sean has to like jump out of the way and the horse just explodes.
It's a robot horse.
It is a robot horse, but why does it explode after you cut his head off? Like what happened there?
A leak.
And I'm just like visualizing it in my head. Like, it just like the horse's head gets cut off. It's still running. And so he's like, oh shit. And he jumps out of the way and then it explodes. Like, it's insanity.
That happens to real horses too.
I guess I've never tried, but that shit was crazy.
So Kadir could have saved Ward. You know, he had like this, like
the laser hatchet,
laser axe thing. Yeah. Hatchet. And, but he just like hesitates and runs away.
Yeah.
He could have just threw that thing and then also ran away.
Yeah. Cause Ward was like, fucking throw me the hatchet or whatever, or come down here, because he like got tackled off like a little cliff, and it was just like him against a bunch of them, and Kadir just runs off. I love the laser hatchet. Shit looks pretty cool. And it was kind of a cool death as well for Ward, because I noticed that Remender, if there's a lot of action, will just have the character think about something else and just talk about that endlessly, which is a little bit annoying.
When he is wet, when they don't have something to talk about.
Well, like when there's action going on or like a chase, like for Grant and stuff, he's like, oh, I'm such a fucking dumbass. I want to save my kids. I love you, Sarah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I get what you're feeling. But for this Ward character, I really liked it because he was talking about how like his dad and his grandpa like died in the war and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that like his final moments with these Hopi tribe dudes where he's about to get killed. And he's like, why would I be so fucking special? And he like dies.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And he's all bloody and shit.
There's this like annoying plot point to where like the pillar goes off like every like 5 minutes or something.
No, this one, they were at this one for 4 hours.
Every 4 hours then.
Okay. Yeah.
4 or 5 hours. But like it changes. Like I saw 5 minutes on something, but are you sure it's 4 hours?
The first one was 5 minutes.
Okay.
So when he saved the frog stripper and all that, that was like 5 minutes. And then they jumped again and it was like 4 hours. And then they jumped again, and after they jumped again, that time like extended even more.
Yeah, so it's just like a very odd thing, you know? Like, I get if like they find out they're in trouble, then they try and fix it, or they push something,
mm-hmm.
and then they jump again.
But yeah, why wouldn't you just be able to just like hit the button and jump?
Yeah, it's just like random time that he put to it to...
Just like give the characters enough time to do whatever they need to do.
Yeah, to give them at least 1 second to get in there before
it zaps you. You gotta make it exciting before it zaps you away, Daniel.
Yeah, no one's missed it so far.
Yeah.
They all have this great internal timer.
Yeah, I would be like, shit, has it been like 5 minutes or like 30 minutes? There's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they all make it to the pillar, which jumps them to like another dimension, which is more calm. There's not like a shit show going on. They're like in a alien hotel that they somehow booked. You know,
yeah.
Did they? How do they get there?
Do they have an alien credit card on file?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Do they have alien reservations?
Do they have an alien thing to trade? Like, how did they get there? It's like multiple rooms too. Grant wakes up. He's all healed from the shaman, I guess. And Chandra tells Kadir that she saw him leave Ward behind, but she's like still on his side, kind of deal. She's like, I think
she's like his assistant or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they're tight. But now the plan is to basically scavenge this dimension or any others for parts that they need to fix the pillar.
Mm.
But then we see someone that's like fully suited up jump into reality hunting for them specifically.
It looks like the MCU Taskmaster.
No.
No? What do you think?
I don't know. I think of the Fallout dude.
Fallout. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
With the gas mask.
With the gas mask and the hood. Really cool design, like either way. It's not a cap out. It's just exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
But I think it's a really cool design. I like the blue. It kind of like clashes with the universe that they're in. Because it's very clear that like Mateo does like a color palette for each dimension.
Yeah.
So like the first one was like very blue and green because of the frogs and shit. And this one's like a lot of green and pink. Like a lot of greens in the skies and stuff. It's really cool to see like the design choices.
Right.
But yeah, pretty cool design. And that's issue 4.
And this dude has like a bunch of the logos on him.
Yeah, a bunch of the onions.
The onions, yeah.
He must stink.
Yeah. Trying to keep away vampires.
He's got a lot of like holsters and pouches and shit too.
Yeah, very 90s.
Yeah. It looks great. So I could see why they were doing that in the 90s. Issue 5. This isn't really like part of the story, but the first page is like two aliens talking. And they're like negotiating something, I think, at this hotel, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, it's like kind of like a Spanglish, but with like this like alien language.
Yeah.
Like, no flank it, no splang it.
Room la tip 9.
Yeah.
And he's like, Tordreep. I'm like, I feel that. So they're about to jump again in 20 minutes. A convenient amount of time. We'll find out. And the kids, understandably, are scared to jump again because the last two are pretty much shit shows. But Grant promises that he's going to keep his kids safe. And then the dude in the suit isolates Grant's kids and says that he's going to take them back to their mother. Nate and Pia, the kids, struggle. But this guy, like, he loses his, like, little handheld tech thing that he had.
Which is like a mini pillar.
Yeah, it ends up, we find out it's a mini pillar. And then Grant punches his mask off to reveal that it's an older Grant. A little predictable.
I thought it was the mom, honestly.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Like, she, like, finds tech, finds out he's cheating. She goes.
Like, I'm going to go kick his ass. Him.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Did you guess, like, older Grant when you first saw him?
Well, when he was like, guess? He was like, I'm going to bring you to your mother. And yeah. I'm like, okay, this is just Grant. That's what I figured. Because he knows them specifically.
I was like, they're trying to fake us out. When he says to your mother, means to her, you know?
That would be, I think, a better reveal, probably.
Yeah, you know, I could write, probably. Yeah,
you could edit, maybe.
Rick Romano, help me out if you need help.
if you need help with one specific thing.
Yeah.
I like the bug cars. there's like cars on this planet that are, you just get inside a big bug and you can steer it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really funny because it looks like they go pretty fast. Like there's a big chase that happens, right? And
there's a cool little like alien flea market thing too that they go through. Just kind of gives like some world building to like what dimension they're on.
Yeah. The world building I think is really strong.
This like, is this the coolest one so far.
This whole book. Yeah. This one I think is one of the cooler ones.
Like I would settle down here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this one seems like it has like a functional civilization.
Yeah.
The frog one, it's like, okay, they have a strip club. We didn't see much of it to be fair.
Yeah. That was basically just
the wilderness. Other one is just a big war. So it's like, what does everything else look like? But this is just like normal, like bugs or whatever aliens live in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a chase with our Grant on a big flying bug, and old Grant takes the kids to their mom, but it's actually like another dimension of Grant and Sarah where their pillar was sabotaged, and when it like exploded and killed their kids, and so now they stop people from jumping through the Eververse because I guess every time you jump, you're putting the whole thing at risk.
Yeah, they call it the Eververse here.
Yeah, the Eververse. It's not like the
multiverse,
yeah.
And so they were just, it's cool because they have been spent like a ton of time like going to these other universes and like seeing everyone else's like outcomes and stuff like that, and also trying to find like living versions of their kids.
Yeah, just to like take.
Yeah, which is
they can't expect to be able to explain like, oh, this is what I'm doing, and the other person be like, oh, okay, that's fair.
Maybe they're looking for one where, like, the parents died, but not the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. But they would, like, Rick and Morty it kind of deal.
But they were like, okay, fine, we won't take the kids. And then they were like,
by the way,
yo, Kadir always sabotages.
Kadir always fucked this shit up.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's also an element that, like, the kids always die with Grant.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's that sort of foreshadowing, probably, if you read on. How long is this book?
I think it's, like, 30.
I saw it's at least like four or five volumes. So 30 sounds about
something
right.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's cool. I like during the bug chase how the bug steers like cars do. There's like a specific panel where there's like a drift and it screeches out of the way. I think that's
really there's funny. Like a stick shift in there.
And then there's like an alien that's like yelling at like the vicious driver.
Yeah.
But in alien language, pretty good. So Grant tells them to fuck off. So the old Grant and Sarah TP away. They say Kadir sabotage the pillar. So when they regroup to jump in the pillar again, they made it with like 5 seconds to spare. Grant gets heated. He blames Kadir for sabotaging the pillar. And then Kadir's like, yeah, well, you've been fucking Rebecca. And then Grant's like, what the fuck? And then he tackles Kadir off of the cliff that they're on. And that's the end of this issue.
Yeah, and his kids were there to hear that.
And they're like, oh, shit, what do you mean? And then Rebecca does not have a good poker face. She's like, oh, I wouldn't do that.
I would never.
I wouldn't, no. And they're in like a monkey dimension, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, dude.
I love
these are like little hit monkeys.
They are. They're like, yeah, it's like the gorillas if they were hit monkey.
Yeah.
Super cool. So issue 6, again, I like the first page here. It's just like a close up on one of the big monkeys.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But Grant and Kadir end up falling into no impact liquid, which is pretty convenient because they fell like probably 50 stories. But they end up dropping in the middle of a civilization of like monkey creatures. And it turns out that they landed in a monkey nursery where there's like little monkeys. And so
did you say no impact liquid?
That's what they called it.
No, it says no impact dash dash liquid dash dash. No, they like crashed through this like dome and then went into like a pool.
Oh, okay. I see. I thought he put that there.
I was like, is that a thing?
No, I mean, not in our universe.
Is it like a jello pool or something?
I mean, that would hurt more, I would assume. But like, you know, if you like jump from like a bridge, it's like landing on concrete or whatever.
Yeah.
When you land in water. So I was like,
they should have died.
They should have died 100%. Well, yeah. I thought that was him explaining why.
No impact liquid.
And oh, thank goodness we landed on this no impact liquid.
Yeah, the one thing I was praying for.
So it turns out that the liquid, they get out and they're in a monkey nursery and the monkeys are like, oh, what the fuck? They're going primal and they're chasing after Grant. But then they start going after Kadir when they see him surface from the water because he's like the more immediate danger, I guess. And I just like this whole environment with like the snow and like the mountains and the monkeys in the buildings and stuff. Like, this is some cool world building when they're like falling through everything. Cause they live in like a big hole, it looks like.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about, but it's kind of cool. So Kadir fights them off with his laser hatchet, but he accidentally hits a plant, which releases a spirit, which then gets hosted in like a monkey body. So all these monkeys, I guess, are actually hosts to like these like weird spirits, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So Grant and Kadir run off and they run into a monkey lab, which has the Onion logo in there and its own pillar for teleporting and a monkey scientist. And Kadir accidentally knocks down the pillar from tripping on it as he's like continuing to run away. And when he does that, I'm like, dude, bolt this shit down.
Yeah.
Like, it should not be that easily tippable. Like, it's fucking Jenga.
Yeah. The power plug.
That the was power it. Cord. It was enough to like fucking tip it over.
No, dude, this is like a monkey Grant.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
How do you know? I mean, it's clear that he recognizes his eyes, Grant.
His eyes flicker with recognition.
Well, that
one
that
soul,
doesn't mean that
one
he is
soul
Grant.
Mirrored in a billion realities. What are the odds we would? Then that's like a pause.
I thought it was a monkey that knew Grant because he knows that there's some people fucking up all realities. Because
why can't you just let this be fun?
It can be fun.
Let it be cool.
I still think it's fun.
Cool monkey Grant.
It is cool monkey Grant.
That's
and I
great.
Didn't realize that. But I was never like, oh, that's got to be the monkey version of Grant.
They
made the same onion logo. You're telling me that?
Yeah, look at it.
I know. But like, why would monkey Grant come up with the same monkey onion logo? It doesn't matter.
Grant thoughts.
You know what? That's a good point.
Monkey Grant has monkey Grant thoughts.
I like when the monkey Grant starts talking and he tries to say Grant, but he says Granette. I just assume that means Grant. I don't know if you caught that. Fucking smarty pants over here.
This is narrow it down.
Fucking nerd. So
did you pick up like,
when this is a cool reveal though. Either way, I'm like, okay, shit. The monkeys are pretty smart too.
Did you pick up that like the old Grant was like when they're like running through, I know this is like last issue, but like,
it's fine.
He was like shooting people to get them out of the way or whatever. And
they're like, they're not real.
Yeah, he's like, oh, don't worry about it. They're not real. I'm like, what do you mean they're not real?
Like,
they're totally real.
Let's dig into this
little
bit.
They're real here.
Nate and Pia should have been like, okay, hold on. I'll go with you, but explain that bit a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, which is pretty intriguing to me.
I think that's something that you have to say to yourself to survive this sort of like
maybe
thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe not if you have like a working pillar.
Yeah.
But.
I assume that's something that is like a seed that was planted, you know? He seems like the kind of writer that would do some shit like that.
Did they talk about how, like, when one decision's made, like,
there's like a branch of realities and stuff? And that,
so I guess that maybe that's part of the onion. That's what they're thinking of. And that's like what old Grant's thinking of is like these people only exist because one thing was done at a certain point, you know?
And okay, so maybe like those are real. And our Grant's reality, but not old Grant. Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean,
like to that Grant in the suit, those people aren't real because it wasn't his decisions that made them.
Not even his decisions, but like it was just a decision, but like a very meaningless decision. And because of that, a bunch of universes came from it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's impossible to think that like every universe and every person in it has like value.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's like where he's coming from.
I didn't catch that or I get that, but
I just got that right now thinking about it. But
yeah, I did catch that though. And I was like, okay, that's something that'll be covered later. Maybe. But not in this trade. So Grant and Kadir, they're like, we're done running. And they start confronting each other about their actions. Apparently Kadir hired Grant because he thought he would never succeed in making the pillar because he doesn't want a pillar to be made. And because Kadir thinks it'll open more bad opportunities than good.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Grant's like, oh, we can cure cancer and shit now because we can get cancer medicine from a different dimension.
From the monkey universe.
For the monkey. Yeah, the monkey's probably figured it out.
Yeah.
And
they did that before the pillar.
Yeah, they have no impact liquid there. But yeah, Kadir's like, we'll probably just get more cancer. You know, that's what I assume he thinks. There's gonna be more cancers that come from it. So Grant is then almost killed by the monkey scientists. So you're telling me Monkey Grant tried to kill himself?
Yeah, so he can be. He's like,
so he can be Head Grant, Alpha Grant.
Yeah, dude, he's like Kang.
Whoa,
trying to be the
King's not trying to kill himself a bunch of times.
He did in Loki.
Really?
Yeah.
Grant, he's the one Kang who killed himself?
Yeah, he killed others so he could be like the top one.
Oh, cool.
And then he maintained like the one timeline.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty hard.
I wish I paid more attention to that show.
Good show. Best show. Best Marvel show.
I didn't think it was that good.
Definitely top. Way better than Vision.
What?
Anyway, Monkey Grant.
Monkey Grant almost kills regular human Grant. But Kadir pushes him out of the way because he's a good guy now, apparently. And then Grant gets stuck under a pillar. A second one, I guess?
It's not a pillar. It's just a big fucking thing.
Yeah. See, that's what
not,
I thought.
Not every piece of furniture is a pillar. Yeah.
they drink not coffee every machine. On a pillar. Yeah. I agree with you. But
they got pillar toilets, pillar fridges.
Dana, I agree with you. I think it's just some big fucking machinery. It looks like a server.
Yeah.
Like a big
server.
But
or AC unit.
Later, when he dies, spoiler, he's like, man, how ironic is this? Dying stuck under a fucking pillar. And I'm like, this is a pillar too? So maybe the other pillar.
That's a broken one.
A broken pillar that was standing up? Because again, if this is a pillar, I'll find the panel where he says it.
All right.
But that would mean that two pillars have fallen down in like the last 5 minutes.
The backup pillar too?
Bolt this shit down. They have a backup pillar for when the first pillar falls over.
Yeah, dude. Why does IKEA have all the safety shit, but these people don't, you know?
I guess the Monkey Grant hasn't been through the lawsuit yet IKEA has.
There's no Swedish monkeys.
Yeah. Let me find it though. Okay. He says, oh, Sarah, you couldn't make this shit up. Crushed underneath a pillar. Almost funny.
Yeah, weird.
So I'm like, I guess that one doesn't look like the pillars though. So I'm a little annoyed by that whole thing. But anyway,
yeah,
he gets crushed under a pillar, and then Kadir kills the monkey, but his like spirit goes straight into Chandra, who's like trying to find them at this point. And this is why you don't isolate in these situations, you know.
I say what?
Like grab a buddy.
Oh yeah,
because now there's a spirit in Chandra, and it's Grant, I guess. The Grant spirit, maybe.
What? No, Monkey Grant spirit?
The Monkey Grant spirit. Monkey Grant got killed. The spirit goes into Chandra. So now that I know that he's Grant, this is just super weird. But anyway, Grant stuck under the machine with no way out. So he makes Kadir promise to make up for what he's done by bringing his children back home. So they leave Grant to die. Kadir and Chandra make it back to the pillar as it's about to jump. And they're all being chased by other monkeys. But the shaman dude, who's still with them by this point, pushes the monkeys all back with like his shaman powers, which is a really cool scene. And they all get jumped away by the pillar while Grant dies, thinking about how he should have just been with his family this whole time. And that's the end of the trade.
I like a little bit of
like the main character dying.
Yeah.
I like that shit too.
Dead protagonists.
Yeah. Because it's like, okay. Like, anybody could die.
Yeah. You
know, who knows what the story is?
But it sounds like, I think as long as, like, the Monkey Grant is in Chandra. That one girl, Chandra, maybe, like, it'll use her, like, English to speak, and it'll be, like,
to Grant. To be like, holy fuck, I was a monkey. Yeah. You know, here's what I was trying to do. Maybe. Yeah.
And he could fix the old pillar now, the broken one that they've been traveling with.
And he's like, I know this great pillar monkey mechanic
shop.
Yeah, I know this great monkey shop.
It's back at my universe, but
yeah, they do tons of monkey business over there. I really like this magic shaman powers. Like, there's this like blast that he does, and there's like a bunch of like birds or some shit that flies out.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. It was also, it was just nice that he was helping them, because he seems nice. We don't really see much of him, but he heals Grant because he felt bad for his kids, you know. And then he's just like been there the for the rest of the time, I guess.
He's like, I guess I gotta just try and survive this.
Yeah, you that's know? True. That's true.
Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Some variants.
Got variants galore, Nathan.
Yeah, I gotta get variants for a book like this. I really like the trade dress of, like, the design of the covers of these pages.
It does, like, it's really bold. Stand out. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, like, the Black Science logo is not, like, top center. It's, like, over on the left. And, like, most of the picture is, like, on the right. Makes it almost look like a movie poster of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But really cool. So we have variants by Andrew Robinson, Toby Cypress.
I like that Toby Cypress one. I'm not even not sure what I'm looking at, but it looks good.
I was like, is that Jesse Lonergan or some shit?
Yeah,
right. It looks pretty cool. A Raphael Albuquerque one. He always crushes what he's doing.
Killer.
Greg Toccini, not familiar with his stuff. Paul Renaud. This one is like a Midtown Comics variant, and it's like a bunch of knights, but it's still like laser swords. Pretty cool.
Hmm. Foreshadowing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. First issue went into third printing, and so Mateo Scalera was doing a bunch of covers for that shit as well.
I like when they do that. Like the next printing like has like a different cover, so we know just by looking at it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Because who knows? You could be buying like a fake one. You know?
I remember like when Marvel would be doing second printings, and they would make I can't remember what series it was, but they would make like the logo like a different color to designate the second printing, and I didn't like that shit very much.
I didn't know.
And so I'm like, oh, Iron Fist came out again. I think it was Iron Fist.
Who red, like, Iron Fist, very cool.
Ooh, red. Yeah, it must be very angry. So, and then we have some sketchbook shit. So we get all the workers. Apparently, does Grant have like a upside down cross and tattoos on his arms?
He has tattoos on his arms. I don't remember seeing the cross on his neck. Maybe there wasn't like an angle for that.
Yeah, maybe they didn't.
But yeah, he had like a spiderweb elbow tattoo, and he had like a black flag tattoo on
it. I always respect the tattoos on a person, because it would be really annoying to draw, I feel like.
Yeah, these are like kind of easier, just like kind of patchwork stuff. Mm-hmm. So easy to like replicate.
Yeah, so we get, you know, Kadir, his kids, the old Grant jumpsuit, the fish stripper.
Yeah.
I'm glad he included that in there.
The Frog Warriors.
The Monkey Grant. Monkey Grant, I guess. He's so good at drawing, dude. And some color studies. So really good shit. And that is the book, Daniel. What would you rate this?
Even I love it. But of something weird, you know, isn't it like a purple ice cream or something like that?
Maybe the Grimace Shake.
I'll
give it one Grimace Shake.
Give it like a love it with like rainbow sherbet, you know?
Okay.
Very colorful, very
super colorful. Yeah.
Very, very random, you know, very all over the place.
I feel that.
I thought it was a lot of fun. The artwork was great. Good pacing. Couldn't ask for better book. I can't say I'd change anything really.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like so up there to where like I can't wait to read like the second volume kind of thing, but sure. I'm glad I read more of this past just like the first issue.
Yeah.
Cause now I like get what it's about.
Yeah. I think this was a great, like binge read.
Yeah.
Cause you're just like constantly exposed to some of the interesting ideas and stuff. I would give it a love it as well. Since this is like so sci-fi, you know, it's like if you're really in the mood for sci-fi, this is like the book for you, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
So my love it is going to be like chocolate, but it's like a bunch of chocolate toppings on it too. So if you're like really in the mood for chocolate, you know, you get your chocolate ice cream, you got the chocolate drizzle, chocolate sprinkles.
Some kind of deal. Brownies in there.
Some brownies. That's what I'll rate this. Like really good.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
They have something like that, like the signature one.
The Chocoholic or something.
It's like the chocolate chip chip or something like that.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good stuff.
Let's get into
good rec dinger.
Yeah, good recommendation.
If you have other recommendations, not Black Science, who did that already, yeah, you can email us at traverspod@gmail.com.
Yes.
And so let's get into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get, Nathan?
I went today, Thursday, a day late. We were on vacation.
Yeah. You still could have gone sabbatical. Yesterday. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what the fuck's coming out today. I got Phantom Road 5, I believe. Daredevil 13. I picked up Night Terrors because that starts. And I'm like, let's see what this is, you know, because we've heard a lot about it and whatever. And since I'm subscribed to Batman, they put Night Terrors Batman in my box. And so I'm like, well, I guess I'm getting this too. Because it's one of those events where it's like the main book.
It's like if you like have Batman, they think you want everything Batman.
Well,
you
know? No, because the way that this is working is that the main books lead into like Night Terrors. Which I think is a little weird when you're trying to do this Donna DC shit and then you throw them straight into an event. So I just hope. But the good thing is that it's only two tie-in issues and the main book isn't going while these books are.
Yeah. So it's those but creative teams need, on these?
No. Different creative teams.
Okay.
So it's not really like a continuation. You just get like a 2-month break, essentially.
Okay.
But these books are in continuity. It's a little bit weird. But this it one, like, been this, a, this an issue event. Of Batman is like Williamson and like Gillum March, who's like a really good artist. Like I almost picked it up because I flipped the pages. I was like, this is really cool, but I shouldn't be picking up like new shit. And it was just in my box. So I was like, well, I guess I'm getting it. I also, Daniel, picked up Weird Work.
Oh, you did?
By Shaky Kane.
Shaky Kane. Our man.
I saw it was out and I was like, is this the Shaky Kane from The Beef?
The one and only Beef.
The one and only. And I was like, that was
not the Netflix show. The comic,
the original,
The Beef,
as they say, which was such a weird book, but I was so intrigued by his art. And I'm like, does he do it again? Does Shaky Kane, can he catch the lightning in a bottle? That was The Beef.
Yeah. I liked his style like a lot. Like I was thinking about it and I was like, I might as well just get it just because I like the artwork and then just see where it goes.
Yeah. Cause you know? I noticed like days after we like did the episode or whatever, I was like, man, that book was weird, but it's sticking with me for some reason.
Yeah.
So I don't expect that to happen with Weird Work, but I just wanted to pick it up to like see what it was. So
yeah, if you think it's weird and not good, tell me not to buy it, but still let me read your number one.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Cool.
So that was everything I picked up this week.
Sweet. The fucking like Fresh Comics app, it said like all these like Night Terrors what like spinoffs come out. I'm like, when does Night Terrors come out? It didn't show that, like the main book coming out.
Ooh.
But now I know it's out.
So dude, that came out. There was a cool variant. I was going to pick it up. It was like $4 more than the like normal book, which was already like $5. And so I was like, no, thank you.
Who is there someone on it that you knew or?
It was, I don't even know who it was.
It was just the cooler variant.
It was like a variant of the original cover, but it was colored more neon. And I was like, this is interesting. I'll pick this up. And then it was like $4 more.
The neon variants.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's probably like a 1 out of 5 or 10.
Yeah, it's probably one of those.
Ratio variant.
There's a sweet Jay Lee cover.
Jay Lee's awesome.
He is great. It's like a cover where like Deadman is like morphing into Batman or some shit. And ooh. I was like, this is cool. But I just got the original.
Nice. So yeah, I'll get like Phantom Road 5 and Night Terrors. Did you read anything?
I did. We went on a plane, Daniel. Mm-hmm. Which is my favorite place to be because I just get to read comics and less people judge me.
Yeah, I normally can if I don't have tummy issues.
Yeah. So I read Night Fever by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Yeah.
And Jacob Phillips, I believe, colors it. Dude, they still fucking got it. I told you about it already, but in my head, for some reason, I was like, they can't be producing this level of work for everything that they do always.
They do. You just haven't read any of it.
I've read a few of them, and I liked every single one.
And I never picked up the pulp,
which is not that long ago. It was like 3 trades ago.
No, 5 trades ago.
No fucking way.
I have 5 Reckless trades right there.
I don't read Reckless. I don't know what that is.
I told you about Ethan Reckless.
I don't want to know about Ethan Reckless.
It's good.
I want to read about Frank Night Fever, you know? But
no spoilers. How was it? Like, say dude, other
they
shit.
Just get better. Like their work together.
It's better than Pulp.
It's better than Pulp.
Mm.
Like I liked Pulp a lot, you know, but I wasn't I would reread it, you know.
I don't know. Night Fever might be a step down from Reckless. I don't know. Well, we'll see. I'll let you know.
Okay, let me. Is Reckless like really good?
I like the first one a lot. I think it's very much worth the read, and I think you just get returned off because I read it first or something. I don't know.
That's not it at all. That's
you
insane.
Didn't like. You didn't
I
like
just
that
don't know the reading order for it,
dude. First one is called Reckless.
What's the next one called?
The Ghost in You.
How do you know?
Because I got it over there.
Does it have numbers?
No, you have to look that up.
See?
No. Think about this.
See?
Think about this.
You got to look it up.
If you have numbers, that means people won't just pick it up randomly because they are like, it's the same characters in all of them, but they're like self-contained books.
How
you
much
know what
does
I mean?
That?
Huh?
That all says Reckless.
They don't all, they say like a Reckless book.
And so I'm like, okay, I guess I got to read Reckless first before I read this book.
No, you don't.
And then I got to pick up.
They don't want to do like serialized shit.
I understand that.
So that people can, so that's like wider, you know?
Yeah.
I've like heard him say it like six times on six different podcasts. So
I'll read it.
All right.
We can read it. Is it long? The first one?
It's like the normal size of like their.
We can do it.
Trades like 100 something pages.
Yeah. Anyway, Night Fever. Not a shitty Reckless book. But no, I liked it a lot. Like there's a page on there where I was like, I want to just look up how much it is. He hasn't posted it yet, but I'll be first in line because I thought it was really cool.
3,000.
But coloring, super stellar. Just like the concept of it as well. It feels like it made me nervous. You know, there's like some shit about something about what Ed Brubaker does where I'm like, if this was me in this situation, I would fuck it up so fast.
Right.
You know? And I love reading shit like that because I'm like, I could never do this.
So you know? He sets it up and then like just slam dunk at the end.
Totally.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
Yeah. There's one part of it I didn't understand, and I don't know if it was, like, real.
Okay.
But, like, there's a clear theme and message throughout the whole thing that comes from, like, a pretty, like, there's, like, a dark theme or whatever. It's great. It's not what I thought it was at all, because, like, looking at the cover, I was like, okay, there's, like, a spirit or something, but there's not. There's no spirits.
Yeah, that's actually, like, the second cover that they did. So they had like an original cover that they did for a promotion, but the book wasn't like done yet. Mm. And so when the book was done, Sean Phillips like drew like another cover, and which is the one that we have on it now. But that you can look up like an OG.
Why did he change it from the first one?
Because I guess he didn't really know what the book was, and he just thought this cover like fit with it better.
It
you know?
Does. Well, I mean, it fits pretty well now that I've read it.
The other one is just like a dude.
It's like a movie poster like thing, like kind of like the Reckless. Did it look like the Reckless ones?
I'll just look it up. Hold on.
Yeah, that's fair.
So this is the original cover.
I think that works enough, but
okay.
I like there's a focus on this one that plays a part into it. I feel like more than what that one displays.
And that's a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler.
I'm done talking about it.
Okay. I will tell you though, not a spoiler, but I was reading it before we got on the plane.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I was like, sometimes they're like throwing a bunch of nudity and shit out. And I was like, okay, I was reading.
Did you
it for
flip
like,
through it?
I was, no, I didn't. But I was reading it to make sure like the first like 40 pages or whatever had like zero tits.
Mm-hmm.
We get on the plane. I turn the page, tits. And I was like, fuck. And so like.
And you had the aisle seat too.
I was in the aisle seat.
Everyone could see the titties.
Flight attendants. There's babies next to me.
Luckily, you were in like that like rear view mirror seat for me.
Yeah.
So if you saw something I was reading, you're probably the only person that saw it.
Yeah.
You know, so I could read porn all day.
You could, I guess. But but I was reading it and I got really self-conscious. I was trying to read faster. I was covering the tits with my hand. So I was being very obvious, I think.
You did like the fold and like
I was like folding it, like kind of tilting it up towards to the left.
Or like you like fucking like hold up the cover.
Yeah,
so that like
I totally
no one
was.
Can see it.
I was reading it like I was putting my hand
on
it,
Nathan.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't know if that's illegal. How am I supposed to explain that this titty is super high art? So it's like Ed Brubaker and like Sean Phillips. They're like a duo. You
we should like set up like cameras on like a plane and like we'll both read like Saga on a plane and just see the looks we get.
How far
and
can
we just
you
have
get
it, like wide open?
It should be how far can you get reading Saga before someone makes a face?
Yeah,
that would be funny. So I read that. I also read the first. No, not the first. Sorry. I read Batman One Bad Day, but the Riddler one? Or the Riddler One Bad Day? The Tom King Mitch Jared's one.
Yeah.
It was like a 80 or 120 page thing.
Yeah.
Pretty long.
It looked like it.
It was great though.
That's good.
That's all I have to say about it.
Okay.
I can't wait to read, you know, The Brave and the Bold. I don't know if they, I doubt they went into one another, but I like the concept of the whole thing because it's kind of like a different take on the, each, what I assume is each of the, like the different villains and stuff. So like there's like a Penguin one, there's like a Clayface one.
Yeah.
So if you are really interested about, you know, some deeper origins or just stories of like the Riddler, I think this one is pretty cool. And they, there's like a twist. It's pretty good.
Nice.
So, very good. Also, Batman looks really cool. Like, it, there's like barely any Batman action, which I'm fine with because whenever he is on the page, he just seems like way darker and more mysterious, which I think is pretty cool. So, Mitch Jarrett's a pretty good artist, turns out.
Very good.
He's got many Eisners to prove it.
His pages in Brave and the Bold are like his best work.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like,
I can't wait.
Like, it was flawless.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Big words.
Yeah, there's like some things in like...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you read the Batman Black and White stuff that they did?
That he did?
Yeah, Tom King and Mitch did a Batman Black and White story. It was pretty cool.
So hard to keep track of those.
I know.
And then there's like the Black, White, and Red. And then there's like all these other characters that have them, you know, and stuff. No. Maybe they'll have a great big omnibus one day and I can read it then.
Of what?
Just all their Tom King and Mitch Garrett's like just, Batman omnibus,
just all Batman.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Kind of like Zdarsky's Spider-Man.
That would be cool because it would have like the Mitch Garrett's issues of Tom King's Batman run.
Yeah,
which are standalone as is, but some of the best issues, like the rooftops one. Remember that one?
Or like the Brave and the Mold.
That one's great. You have the picture behind you,
of course.
Or like the pig, the Professor Pig one.
Yeah, that was cool.
Really good issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm going to email DC right now.
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty much everything I read. Just some big stuff.
I read Ultimate Invasion, number one.
Oh, cool.
Crazy stuff.
It is crazy stuff. He turned some people into him, and then they turned to mush. And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the continuity of, like, the Ultimate Universe. I know that, like, Secret Wars... You know, Ultimate, parts of Ultimate, now part of 616, whatever.
I think you're okay if you just read Hickman stuff. You can kind of get the gist.
Yeah.
Of what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I did get the gist, but I was like, am I supposed to know why they're still alive? You know? Or like not, like just the Ultimate people.
Because...
Also, wasn't the Thinker like in our thing? It doesn't really matter, but...
Because Doom, like, saved him. Saved people, I guess.
Hmm. What a guy.
When he was God Doom or whatever.
I liked the Ultimate Illuminati. It was cool seeing them.
Was that them?
It was like like the Reed Richards, Doctor Strange. I think Xavier was there too, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know like the Ultimate lineup for the Illuminati.
Oh yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like it was them.
Just the OG one. That's cool.
But yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. He was very specific about getting Miles Morales for some reason. So I'm like, okay, let's see what happens.
How long is this supposed to be?
I don't know. Probably like 6.
How much was the issues? Is like
was that like one was pretty. That one was like 40 pages, though, right?
Yeah, it's like double size.
Yeah, I don't know if they're all double size.
Is that like $9?
Maybe.
Dang.
I kind of got fat stacks, so I didn't even pay attention to the price.
That shit don't hurt me anymore.
It doesn't sting when I get 4 issues instead of 3.
Yeah, that shit's $8.99.
$8.99, $9 pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't realize that because I picked it up and in the spot where they normally have the price, it just said like variant edition, but you have to look like down by like the barcode or whatever, and that's where it says $8.99. So
you got tricked.
Yeah. I also read the first trade of I Hate This Place.
The Kyle Higgins one?
Yeah.
That the dude? I'm very interested about that book. Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Okay.
So it's
seems like a pretty good kind of book.
It's like 12 issues. I liked what was in there. Like the horror elements of it were like cool. It wasn't like very like scary really, but there was like some good stuff in there.
Okay.
I guess subjectively, if we're following the rules, bad book, but it was like a flashback kind of thing. And it wasn't like, so
it's a bad book if a dog dies. We know that. But
the
dog
place,
dies in the flashback. Flashback is what you're saying.
Okay, so
do you know the dog's name?
No.
See, that plays a part of it too.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so the place that they hate is like this haunted, like, I don't know, ranch or something, right?
I would hate that too.
And so they call this like TV, like ghost hunter, and he has this flashback of all the other ghosts that he hunted, and one of them was like a dog.
So dog's pre-dead.
Prior to the start of the story, yes, but they still showed a dog dying.
Oh, they showed the dog die.
Yeah, in this flashback.
In the flashback, though, and we don't know the dog's name.
Yeah. I'm guessing Snowball, based off the type of dog it was.
If the dog's name is Snowball and you find that out, it's Bad Book. Bad Book. Any other name, it's not. Because the dog wasn't part of the story. It's a pre-dead dog.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot of, like, mystery to it and stuff like that. But it was cool. I was just like, I really thought we were going to read it, you know, because the Eisners are coming up. So I just kind of started, but then I was like, eh, you don't have to review it kind of thing.
They got nominated for an Eisner?
Yeah. Hmm. I think like best like new series or something or like.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's on its second trade right now. I think it's about to end. So I just read the first one.
Nice.
And I don't know who the art reminds me of, but I know it's somebody and it's not that artist. You know what I mean?
I hate this place.
Yeah.
Oh, Artyom. Artyom Toplin did a Black Hammer thing. You're saying it reminds you of somebody?
It looks like similar to like a different, like another art style that I've seen before. But I don't know who, you know. It like reminds me of something that maybe like Kirkman did.
Oh, I see. I see a couple panels in here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. Anyway, interesting.
But anyway.
It looks like it's well made, like the book.
Yeah, no, it's cool. The coloring's really good.
Some good coloring, some good lettering. Mm. Good stuff. I actually did start to read Coda.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm only like 3 pages in, so I didn't mention it. But
your favorite book that you haven't read?
My favorite book that I haven't read from creators that I've only read one book of before, but it's the same creators, so I assume it's good.
Yeah.
And there's a sequel, so I assume it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I like it enough, I'm going to force you with my fists to read it.
You got to wait to your birthday.
No.
Do you want to talk about Asteroid City?
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did see that. We didn't talk about it last week, did we?
Nah, because like Carter was here and I didn't want to just like talk over him.
Yeah. Know? Asteroid City. Tons of actors.
Lots of actors. All of them, probably.
Pretty much all of them. Except for Owen Wilson.
It's a movie about people making a play. Kind of.
I guess. Yeah. I liked this. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I did not understand what was going on until like the end, you know?
I think you're supposed to. Yeah.
With like a little bit of like confusion. But when there's like a little bit of confusion, but you don't know why, I just get lost. And I'm like, well, I just give up, you know?
Sure.
But by the end, I was like, okay, I know what we're doing. The set was like for real. Like yeah. the whole city, the whole Asteroid City.
Can we visit it?
No, I think.
Ooh.
Because like the whole that's in Arizona, right?
It's on the border of Arizona, Nevada, and California.
That's what they said. Yeah. But that's not true. It's in Arizona, I'm pretty sure, right?
They did film in Arizona, yeah.
Well, like there's an actual asteroid that landed in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. That's in Flagstaff. Or like, yeah, it's like a couple
north of Flagstaff.
North of Flagstaff.
Yeah. Give us Arizonans
They didn't go there.
Yes, they did. That's where the asteroid is.
There's actually a lot of Westerns that are also like shot in like California, but it just looks like Arizona. Desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, what did you do here? But it's probably hot.
Yeah. You know, it probably is. I really enjoy the coloring of the film.
Very
like
bright.
It's super bright, like brighter than I feel like his other stuff, but you've seen more of it than I have. But
yeah,
something about it was more like pastel and like bright, which I like a lot. I was like looking at the cast list and I was like, okay, surely some of these are just cameos, and there were, but some of the bigger people that I thought were going to be cameos, like Tom Hanks and like Steve Carell, had like bigger parts than I originally anticipated. So
I guess Bill Murray was supposed to be like the Steve Carell character.
I could see that.
But I think he got like COVID or something.
I could definitely see him playing that character.
Yeah.
But I also think it's funny that Steve Carell is playing it, because I think he did a good job.
Yeah, no.
He was basically just... What's his name? Brick from Anchorman, but like nicer.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I felt like.
I liked Bryan Cranston's part in this.
Dude.
He's just like the narrator, but he like fucking killed it.
And he like was doing this like weird voice the whole time, you know?
Like one of those like retro, like hosts.
Whenever he was on, I'm like, I'm about to be confused, you know?
Yeah.
But at least it's Bryan Cranston making me confused.
Yeah.
But he's great. I hope to see him in more Wes Anderson stuff, because I think Isle of Dogs is like his first.
Yeah, I think so.
One. So
I can't remember if he was in French Dispatch, but it's not like he's been in like three in a row. You know?
I don't feel like this one was as funny as his other stuff.
I think it was pretty funny, but I think also like the theater experience for his movies are like next level.
They really are.
Because like everyone is in on the joke, you know, of like
this just is ridiculous.
People just like his tropes. And when he just like does that, the people who like his movies are going to like it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just kind of see how he uses those in different ways.
He does have good tropes.
And so that's kind of why you go. But I think like I watched like the French Dispatch like by myself and I was just like, meh.
Yeah.
But I remember liking like Isle of Dogs a lot in the theater, you know?
I love that movie.
Yeah. And so definitely I'll go to all of his movies in person now, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Because like say if I made like Sarah watch it, she wouldn't like enjoy it. And I think that would like hinder my experience.
Yeah.
But if you're in there with other people who know what this is, then I think it's like a little more enjoyable.
Yeah. I felt bad for Sophie a little bit because we took Sophie. She'd never heard of Wes Anderson, really. She watched the trailer for it and she's like, this is too artsy for me, I think. And then
that's what Sarah said. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'll just go by myself. And then she's like, well, wait. So I showed her Isle of Dogs. Really good movie.
Yeah.
And then jumping to this is, I think, a big change, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you should have showed her like one of his in-person ones, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're going to be similar, you know?
Yeah, I probably should have, but I just like I Love Dogs, so.
Dude, there's this joke in this that I think I was the only one that laughed at it, but it was so fucking funny to me. Because like Scarlett Johansson's character is like an actor, and she has like sunglasses on. And then she had like this black eye that was just makeup, but she takes her glasses off. Then Jason Schwartzman is like, what'd you do to deserve that?
I thought that was so funny.
And he was in like,
it took me,
this is based in like the 50s or something.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't like, what happened? He was like, what did you do to deserve that?
I know. That's so
like, it's her fault.
Yeah.
So, I think it's so fucking funny to me.
Maybe you shouldn't laugh super hard, you know, jokes
when
like
I
that.
When I realized no one else is laughing, I tried to cover it, and that made it funnier for me.
I think you laughed, and then I was like, oh, that is funny, you know? Because I think it took me a second to, like, catch it at first, but yeah.
Because I was waiting for him to say it, something, like, in a more caring way, but he didn't, and so it was really funny.
That was good.
There's an alien in this.
Yeah, spoilers, I guess.
But he spoils it on purpose by putting, like,
Jeff Goldblum's the alien
name, like, in the pre-credits, like in the beginning of the movie.
And it's really I like that he did that, because when the alien I like that he did that because when the alien shows up and he like makes his way down on like his little weird alien ladder thing, and then he like picks up the ball, he like poses with it, that was really funny. I laughed really hard at that. And then he just like leaves and doesn't talk at all, and I was like, damn, I was really expecting him to talk and like be silly. But now I just don't know what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I guess like we didn't really know that we're going to see like an alien.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing.
I'm glad that there was.
Nothing would give us any hint that we'd see any alien.
Yeah.
But when an alien showed up in a Wes Anderson movie, I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, this is great.
I was like, this is incredible. I love Wes Anderson. I don't know. Something about it. I was like, this is crazy.
Just like him peeking into like this other genre. It was fun for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you guess the budget on this?
I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what the box office is so far?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's $25 million, right?
Yeah. Most, like, all of his movies are, for some reason.
That's interesting.
Except for the claymation ones.
He's like...
Those are, like, 125 or something.
He's like a Shyamalan, but for indie movies.
Yeah. I mean, Shyamalan makes cheaper movies.
Isle of Dogs was $25 million?
$125 million. Like, the claymation stuff is, like, way more expensive.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
But, like...
That's cool. That's cool because I like the the actors in here are obviously pretty big, and they clearly would just... They just want to work with them.
I saw a video, and, like, Ed Norton said that he got paid, like, $4,200.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Just, like, paid for travels or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I definitely lost money in this. So.
Yeah. That's good.
So he didn't have, like, a huge role. He wasn't had, like, a ton of screen time, but, like,
it was still, enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just likes being there. But yeah, pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, I think if you like his movies, worth watch.
When was the last one? Like 2019 or 2021?
It was 2021, I think.
Okay, so maybe every 2 years he makes a new one?
Sounds right.
I think he already talked about what he's doing next, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, you watched Secret Invasion episode 2?
No.
You didn't watch episode 2?
No, I haven't.
You only watched the first one?
I only watched the first one so far.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about it. Better than 1? Does it make more sense? Do you want to watch the rest?
Hold on, let me remember what happened.
So good episode.
Yeah, so this was stronger than the second one, or than the first one.
Okay.
So I think like the ball's rolling, you know. The first one had a ton of setup, you know, how to get people reeled in, you know. Yeah. I think now like the start of the story is established, they can kind of go from there. And so I did like this one a lot more.
How many times did they tell Nick Fury he's changed in this episode? 0?
Maybe once or twice. I don't know. Mm. There was like some surprises. Things that are nasty coming.
Is War Machine a Skrull?
No. Did you? You said you didn't watch it, right?
I didn't watch it.
Hmm.
I assume was someone else this? Is a Skrull. Is he? Did you see him become a Skrull or no?
No.
Okay. I assume he is.
But no, there was like...
Because no one else can be a Skrull now for us to really care about.
Why would they do that in the second episode? No, he's not a Skrull, but...
He will be.
No, because we still have the War Machine thing coming, I guess.
He'll come back.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, there was like just kind of better plot points that are happening, better acting and things like that, so...
Good.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Because the first episode came out and I was really... like unimpressed.
They didn't change the intro if you're looking forward to that.
I didn't think that they would. I don't think that they will.
They should have.
They should. Yeah. But you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway.
What are we gonna read next week?
Are we gonna read Spawn next week?
We are going to read Spawn next week for sure.
Okay.
That's what we thought last week. But you know, we had to pivot.
We'll come up with another backup.
Yeah, we'll have another
just in case.
You're saying right now we should come with another backup?
We don't have to do it on air, but
okay. If it doesn't happen, we'll come with another backup.
Okay. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening, everybody. You can check out our link tree. It'll be in our bio on everything. You can go like, comment, subscribe on any of our stuff.
Yep.
Once again, you can send us recommendations at TradeWordsPod@gmail.com.
And just think about that for a second. You like a book, you read it, you like it, and you're like, man, I wish I could talk to somebody about this. Because you're probably,
you're probably
a big dumb loser like us, and you can't talk to many people about comics and how good they are. So just give it to us. We'll read it. This one was a great recommendation from a listener, so we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So if you want us to read something on your behalf, so you could feel like you're friends with us.
You are friends with us.
Yeah,
100%. But to solidify that, send us a recommendation.
Exactly.
And give us 5 stars.
Yep. That's the only way that you can become our friends.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.